Okay. This it wants to record this talk?
Yes, Maharaj.
Then, yes. So this sensitivity, this irritability, whatever you want to call it, sentience, we call it sentience, is peculiar to living things, living matter, living nature. Inanimate matter doesn't have that kind of sentience or consciousness. Mm-hmm. Just like if you roll a marble down a little slope, and you put some stick there in the middle of the slope, and the marble will come and it will hit the stick, and it bounce off one way or the other. But when a living entity like an ant comes down that slope, and he comes in touch with the stick, he walks around it. Huh? He doesn't just bump into it and then bump or this way or that way. He comes in touch with it, he feels it a little bit, and then he decides, oh, there's some stick here, I can't go, let me go around, like that. So a marble can't do that, but an ant can do that because he has some sentience. You know, some stimulus comes and the response comes from that ant, and he can act accordingly. So these kind of features of the living entity distinguish it from the non-living. Is distinguished from the non-living entities. So we then have to say, well, what is that? What is that that makes the living entity distinct from the non-living entity? Right? And so this leads us to say, what other principle is there? Now, when we study the ancient Vedic literature, we find that they had already considered these things, that the material energy is one thing, and the living energy, the spiritual energy, is another thing, and that we have to understand how these two are both both required to understand what reality is in its complete form, and that if we only try to understand things from the material side, we will be frustrated. We have to understand things from another side also. So those books are there. Those books that were given to you from. By Shushan Prabhu, yep. You'll find information about that spiritual side and not so much about the material side. But anyhow, that knowledge is also important. And really, when we come down to it, what is more important? Is it more important to understand your body, or is it more important to understand yourself? Both are important, no doubt. Huh? But if we only have knowledge of the body without knowledge of the self, what's the benefit? If you lose yourself, if you lose your eternal soul for getting all the things of this world, then there's not real benefit in that. But if you can save yourself, save your soul, this body will die ultimately anyhow. It's not that you can take this body forever, but the soul is an eternal part of the self. The soul is the eternal part of you. So that we want to make some effort to understand how that eternal soul is to be regarded, is to be understood, and to be conscious of. Anyhow, that basically is what we are trying to show, is that education should include this other half of knowledge, more important half of knowledge. We don't just concentrate on the material side. We can also concentrate on the spiritual. And then we'll become more complete in our knowledge. And by that complete knowledge, we won't waste so much time, see, in studying what is not so useful to us and what actually can be damaging to us. Because too much material knowledge and simply concentrating on that leads to spiritual disintegration, so much misery and so much unhappiness among the people. So, yes, it's very distracting to keep pushing that make those comments, Shushan Prabhu, on the chat. I can't think what I'm doing. I have to keep taking them off. Maybe you wait, and then we can send that later.
Yes, Maharaj. Yes.
So, anyhow, we can study those things and then get some knowledge about that, and then we'll find that our knowledge will be more satisfying to us. If you find some dissatisfaction with what the material scientists are saying, how they are directing your life only to one side of the equation, then you will find this knowledge to be satisfying to you. It will bring that satisfaction that you are feeling that you are missing. And that is what we have found in our lives. Then one Bhagavad Gita verse that I wanted to mention, it says, Aham sarvasya pavavo mata sarvam pavartate iti matva bhajantimam buddha bhava samanvita. Here Buddha is used, and it means intelligence. Huh? Buddha means intelligence. But this from Bhagavad Gita, and the speaker of the Bhagavad Gita is Krishna, who is that supreme person, the supreme conscious being. He is telling directly that everything, whatever you see in this world, is coming from him, coming from me, he says. And therefore, all that you see, all that is there within your range of contact, that is to be used in that consciousness of Krishna, consciousness of him. And if you do that, if you utilize all of that in the awareness and the knowledge that is all coming from him, then you will find that satisfaction that you are looking for in life, and only then. Whereas if you don't do that, then we are somehow misusing what or misunderstanding, and therefore misusing all that we are in contact with, and there can't possibly be any satisfaction in that, because it's being misapplied. Just like if you use a computer, right, for doing, let's say you use it for cooking, you know, putting your hot pot on top of that for saving it from burning your table. You don't want to put the pot on the table. So you put the computer there, the laptop computer there on the table, and put your hot pot on it. Oh, this is a very good place for putting hot pots, you see. And you use the computer like that, you will ruin it, no? So what is the meaning? Is that you have to understand what a thing is for. Otherwise, it will be misused and it will be spoiled. Right? So a computer is not used for putting hot pots or saving your table. Computer is for making calculations. Right? And then you can get proper use of it. And you get proper satisfaction from using it. Like that. Without understanding that Krishna's the source of everything, then we will simply be misusing whatever facilities we have for the wrong purpose. And then what kind of satisfaction will we be getting there? Instead of satisfaction, we'll be spoiling everything. Huh? Well, are you still there?
Yes, Maharaj.
Yes, Aji?
Yes.
Okay, you are still there, okay. So that's the point that we want to make. So Krishna tells in Gita that you must understand I am there, and I am the source of these things, and therefore you must utilize those things properly in relation to me,
Maharaj,
and don't try to misuse them for other things. Yes,
Maharaj,
other
actually
purpose.
This our you know Lord Buddha actually about Lord Buddha, our Jadav Goswami written that in a song, this Dasavatara Stotra.
Yes.
In that actually, you know, Jadav Goswami written that, you know, Lord Buddha came to stop the, you know, animal, you know, killing by, you know, misutilizing
yes.
the, you know,
yes.
this, you know.
Yes.
So that song is
yes.
there.
Yes. We have already explained that Buddha, is, as I said, is trying to teach how to stop the misuse of the material energy. And come to some neutral position, not the edge of this world, to get from this world to the edge of this world, and then nirvana. But then nirvana means without pain, without anxiety. But then from getting from nirvana or from the edge of this world into the spiritual realm, that's another. Buddha doesn't teach that. So we are teaching that how to go not only to get out of this misconception world, misconceived world, but also how to get into the spiritual, the properly conceived world, in one step by chanting the names of Krishna. That we can do both. We will both reduce our attention to what is improper, and create our consciousness of what is the real situation, what is already there, but we are not remembering. Huh? To re-establish our memory, our consciousness means our memory, our remembrance of what is real. Krishna consciousness means our remembrance, reawakening our memory of what is there, our awareness of what is already there. That's not something new. It's not an imposition. We're not telling you must impose something on your life. We're telling you must realize what is already there. Have fully come to full realization of your real self and what is your actual relationship with the Supreme. So now, the process for doing that, we mentioned that meditation. We were talking about meditation before. Then that's one process. And that, but that process not just consider consists of chanting, of making some sitting quietly and closing the eyes and thinking about something. That's one process of meditation. But it's also a process to meditate. It's also possible to meditate with your eyes open and being active and being engaged in the world, even going to work, when you're eating, when you're sleeping, when you're talking with your friends. It's possible to become conscious of that meditative world, even at those times.
Maharaj, it is possible by discussing about Lord?
By utilizing whatever you have.
Yes.
By utilizing your knowledge, by utilizing your education, by utilizing your science, by utilizing your computer, by what food you are eating, by utilizing your food, in the service, in the connecting all of that with Krishna, with God.
Yes.
How to connect that with God? By using in service of God.
Yes.
Using in the service of Krishna. That while you are doing science, try to understand this science of the soul and of the Supreme Soul, like that. And then that becomes also a meditation or a union with the Supreme Consciousness. Instead of diverting us from that consciousness, it will help to bring us more in close contact with it, like that. So that verse from the Bhagavatam, first canto of Bhagavatam, explains that process. It says, Idam hi pumsas tapashar shrutashiva sistasya suktasya chaburi dhatayo. Again, that word buddhi is coming, huh?
Yes.
Avichuto rata kavibir nirupito yadutama shloka gunar nivaranam. That whatever you're doing as far as tapasya means, Srila Prabhupada once told that tapasya means research. Research is very hard work, even learning, education, scientific work. This is all tapasya. It's a very austere business. You have to make some sacrifice in doing those things. Take some trouble upon yourself. To get a degree, it requires tapasya. So this tapasya, Prabhupada interpreted as meaning scientific work. And shrutasya means shruti, hearing. That spiritual knowledge, whatever you are hearing from Veda, from any books reading, whatever scientific inquiry you are making, working very hard, and like that, sacrifices, all these things, charity even, all these things should be done in relationship to Krishna,
Maharaj,
Supreme Lord. And then those things actually become meditation on Krishna and glorification. Huh? Why? What's that?
Maharaj, actually, one devotee asked a question to Guru Maharaj that, how we can utilize the computer knowledge in the service of this computer. He's a computer science background, student. So he asked how we can utilize our computer knowledge in service of Krishna.
Yes.
So Guru Maharaj explained him, how can, like we are talking now about Krishna, Maharaj. So it itself, actually, we are utilizing to remember Krishna and his, glories and his teachings. So actually, Guru Maharaj told him, maybe we can write one book how we can utilize computer science in service of Krishna. Yes, Maharaj.
Well, I think that we are using the computer in the service of Krishna right now.
Yes, Maharaj.
We can connect with people all over the world and try to teach. Try to teach these things that they are not learning and that they are not being taught in the schools.
Yes.
And the students are interested in these things. We have found so many students are interested in these things.
Yes.
And yet you go to the colleges and they don't teach them. I remember when I was going to school getting my PhD, I had learned, you know, this quantum physics, quantum
yes.
chemistry.
Yes.
And then I read one book. One book was scientist, philosopher. His name was Sir Arthur Eddington. And in that book, he made this one statement. He said that something unknown
yes.
is doing what we don't know. That is what our theory of the electron amounts to.
Oh.
Something unknown
yes.
is doing what we don't know.
Yes.
That is what our theory of the electron amounts to. And I was thinking, you know, according to Heisenberg principle,
yes.
we can't locate the electron precisely and tell what it's doing.
Yes, ma'am.
And electron being the fundamental particle, we
yes.
can't tell what it is.
Yes, ma'am.
Because we can't find something smaller than the electron to tell what it is. Only we create some theories about it and somehow or other try to explain what those theories. But if those theories are correct or not, we don't know. It's all like that he was saying. Our total knowledge, this total conclusion of our knowledge is like that. Something unknown is doing what we don't know. Then what kind of science is that?
Yes.
See, then I thought, oh, I've wasted my time.
Maharaj, actually,
studying all these things. Then what to do? You know, then I'm thinking, you know, here I have studied all these things, and also in quantum mechanics, they found that you need to have consciousness before you can have an observation. Consciousness must be there, otherwise you can't talk about what is being observed properly. You know, in the quantum mechanics, there's something called the eigenvalue,
yes,
the observable,
yes.
requires that there must be a conscious observer in order to get that single value to come out of the wave function. Wave function includes all possible values,
yes,
but when it's observed, one single value comes out,
yes.
then consciousness is invoked. Then the question is, then what is consciousness that it can do that to the wave function, huh? That it
yes.
can reduce the wave function down to one value?
Yes.
And what is that consciousness? And science is silent. When you ask that question, science becomes silent. They have no idea what consciousness is. And I was thinking, look, I've studied all these years quantum physics,
yes.
and all they can conclude is that something unknown is doing we don't know what, and at the same time we don't know what we don't have to, we have to be silent about consciousness.
Yes.
Then what kind of education is this? See?
Yes.
That's half education. Not even half education. It's wrong education.
Yes.
Wasting time. Then I was thinking, how can I learn something about consciousness? And then I said, maybe in India I can find that science of yoga.
Yes.
All those things are there in India. They have studied these things very deeply.
Yes.
Maybe I can find there. Why haven't we learned anything, though, about that in our school?
Yes.
Right? We never learned about the philosophy of India in our school.
Yes, ma'am.
That's there in some courses, but it's not a prominent thing. So we want to introduce that knowledge of consciousness. We don't want people to go through their whole educational career
mm.
and not learn anything about that.
Maharaj, recently one consciousness journal
came.
One consciousness journal also came. Recently they introduced one consciousness journal. I have seen that.
Oh, yes.
Consciousness
yes.
studies.
Yes. Yes, now it's becoming popular.
Yes, Maharaj.
Because they are recognizing
yeah.
That they have neglected this very important field.
Yes.
You know, at least they're becoming a little intelligent, of course. this is important. They're concentrating so much on molecules.
Yes.
And neglecting the person.
Yes.
Who is that person who is studying those molecules? Who is the scientist?
Yes. Maharaj, I am actually fluid mechanics and thermal, you know, like, you know, background little person. So I came across this turbulent flow, Maharaj. So where actually we use statistics in understanding the turbulent flow. So this, you know, statistics, our Mataji, Aji Mataji also statistic background. Yes. So statistics says, Maharaj, even a monkey can hit the typewriter and can draw the most beautiful picture, this Mona Lisa, world famous Maharaj.
Mm.
So there is a possibility. statistic accepts it. No?
That's what they say.
So
by chance.
Yes, this turbulent problem flow nobody understood. It's only a chance by using statistics they try to understand it.
Yes.
Turbulence itself is cannot be understood, Maharaj.
Chance is not a force of nature.
Yes.
See, chance is not a force of nature. Can't be a force of nature. Yes. Chance means that it has no direction. So by invoking chance or random mutations or something like that, that has no force. It can't be a force. It can't be a directing influence in nature.
Yes.
So anything that says by chance, then means giving too much credit to this chance in modern science.
Yes. So by chance only they think that life came by some chance combination of chemicals.
Yes. There's such importance to that.
Yes.
That's not reasonable to think like that. Chance means actually we don't know.
Yes. Right? Yes.
So you can't make a science of chance.
Yes.
Of course, they have probability. Probability yes. there. That's also there.
Yes.
But that also depends. There are some laws.
Yes.
That have to be working in order for probability to give any information.
Yes.
There has to be some boundary conditions.
Yes.
And probability theory can give some results. So restrictions have to be there.
Yes.
Huh? And not just chance. Some restriction also has to be applied.
Yes.
Has to be a called in.
Yes.
And that restriction is a determining factor of what will happen in the whole system.
Yes.
Like that, you can't get away from. Can't get away from the intelligent aspect, the determinant aspect, and simply say by chance. Something else has to be invoked.
Maharaj, you studied so much of detail.
Yes, Aji. Aji, you say?
Yeah,
so?
I think sometimes we have to say chance. It's really something happened due to the chance. Some scientists found the rule of the nature by chance.
Yes. Everything they put to chance.
Maharaj,
chance
actually,
like I said, doesn't arrive at any conclusion. Doesn't go in any direction. It can't produce anything beneficial from that. Anything positive from chance.
Maharaj,
only if there's some particular restriction, something that has to be applied to direct the thing in some particular way, then it becomes valuable. Not on its own.
Maharaj, one scientist actually he told that when he was doing research on one topic and concentrating on one problem. So while actually calculating in mathematics and he become very much fed up, but he not getting the solution. So he actually thought that I should go and a little bit play football. In football ground, he got that idea where he was, meditating for so many days. So there is a deep, what you can say, people are trying to understand the epistemology, Maharaj, ways of receiving knowledge. So I think the ways of receiving knowledge actually very one of the important, factor what Mataji was also telling just now, that, some scientists found out, some invention by some chance. Combination, So actually, some scientists are telling there are some different domain from there where this knowledge comes after some time of meditations. These scientists are doing meditation, Maharaj, on one particular problem. So after some time, by some source, this knowledge comes. And once Guru Maharaj was giving a lecture, he told at that moment the scientist their senses are purified and they are qualified to get the mercy of Paramatma. So they are getting some mercy from Paramatma to know the some problems little bit insights by meditation.
Sarvasya chaham vridishani vishto mataksmatir jnanam apohanancha in the Bhagavad Gita.
Yes.
Krishna is telling that I am the source of knowledge, remembrance, and carefulness.
Yes.
That the inspiration the scientist gets after performing so much hard work, that's tapasya, you see?
Yes.
Performing so much tapasya, so much hard work, much sacrifice.
Yes.
Then Krishna says, okay, I'll give you.
Yes.
And this is shown in the scripture. How many people were engaged in tapasya. Somebody, that was the whole, that's the old process of the scripture.
Yes.
All, that old process is all explained there in Veda.
Yes.
How you have to perform some sacrifice to get some result.
Benefit, yes.
Isn't it?
Yes.
And by satisfying the demigods, by satisfying Krishna, then you might get some result.
Yes.
That's called karma kanda.
Yes, ma'am.
By some activity, you'll get some result.
Yes.
Or tapasya also.
Yes.
By giving up, you'll get. This is explained in the Vedas. This is a Newton's law for the consciousness.
Action and reaction.
Action and reaction.
Yes.
That you do some action, then something will come. By giving up, you will get. However, it's not the same like Newton. Newton means one force, and the same force will go in the same direction. Reaction. Reaction will come in the same way. But karma is different.
Yes.
If you give up, you will get.
Yes.
That law. If you give up something,
yes.
If you make some sacrifice, you will get some, go higher. You'll get some benefit from that.
Maharaj, I was actually coming across one sloka, Bhagavad Gita, where it says, this world where we are staying, is actually where we are actually acquiring, we are doing the, actions, good and bad actions. But actually, we may accumulate some, result of good actions, or may accumulate some results of bad actions. So if we accumulate some good actions, then you will upgrade it to the Swarga, Maharaj, Swarga planet. So and if you do some bad actions, then you will be sent to the Narka planet, where you have to suffer, and in Swarga Loka where you will enjoy. But both the places are temporary, Maharaj. So once actually your good results, this duration is finished, you enjoyed, and again you have to come back to this world. And in same thing for in Narka Loka, where your bad results, reactions are, you have to suffer there. So once that is finished, then again you have to come back here. But the devotion to Supreme Lord is transcendental. It is no action and reaction process.
Yes. So that's what we want to get. The transcendental.
Yes.
Reach that transcendental level where we are not affected by the activities of this world.
Yes.
Good and bad reactions of this world.
Yes.
Transcendental means beyond the good and bad of this world.
Yes.
That we don't act for some result.
Yes.
If we simply act for Krishna,
yes,
then the result we leave to him.
Yes.
Because if we are doing it for his enjoyment.
Yes, Maharaj.
And he somehow or other, he will harmonize everything.
Yes.
Whatever comes, just like Arjuna.
Yes.
Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita was being asked to fight in the Battle of Kurukshetra.
Yes,
and he was thinking, oh, if I do that, nobody will be my friend because I will have had to fight with all these people that I know, my teachers and so many family members.
Yes.
Then people will not be happy with me.
Yes.
And Krishna said, don't worry. Mami Kamasharanam Vraja. That Moksha Shami Mahasutra, don't worry, Mahasutra means don't worry.
Don't worry.
You'll get freedom from all these concerns.
Yes.
Big sacrifice that Arjuna had to make to completely give up this all material kingdom.
Yes.
To simply take shelter of Krishna.
Yes.
And in that shelter, that one would find all peace. Huh? Moksha Shami, you get freedom from all these actions and reactions. Oh, that's our goal. How to come to that consciousness? How to come to that consciousness where we are free from all of this self-interest, and recognize that the real self-interest is the interest of God, of Krishna, serving His interest, because He is the origin of all, and He is the controller of all, and He is the enjoyer of all.
Yes, Maharaj.
That's all. That's so scientific inquiry has to be made into that kind of knowledge. All right, so I think we have to end.
Maharaj,
now.
Actually, I found one, this, Kesava Dhita, actually, Buddha Sarira Jai Jagadish Hare. So, I can send it, Maharaj, I think, in the chat.
All right.
Just a minute, Maharaj.
I think we will end now,
Yes.
and then we can try to do this next week.
Yes, ma'am.
At this time, see how if that will work better.
Yes.
Other thing I'm thinking is that if how many we can have on a conference call like this? How many persons can join?
Any unlimited, I think, matters.
Unlimited on a conference call. I think only nine. I think nine people, something like that.
Is it like that, Maharaj? Fixed?
Nine people, yes. Something
Then I don't know that detail.
So if we can have nine people on, that's okay. Also, I think not more than that will come.
Yes, Maharaj.
Then we can do it like this instead of having on the Skype cast.
Yes.
What do you think,
Maharaj? Actually, if Skype cast works, then we can work on that, Maharaj.
All right. Well, we can try that also.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes, Maharaj.
Try that also.
Yes, Maharaj.
And then if it doesn't work, then we can have this as backup.
Yes, Maharaj.
Second tier.
Yes, Maharaj.
A possibility. All right.
Yes, Maharaj. Maharaj, I found out that verse, Maharaj. So I'm sending Maharaj.
Aji, is that okay with you?
Yes. It's okay for me, and I'm interested in it, and I hope I can have time to join your session next time.
Right.
Actually, I just read some passages. So this hand sent me from the link. This hand sent me, but I still have a lot of questions, and may consult with you next time.
Yes, you're welcome to contact me anytime for any questions. I'll be happy to help. Okay.
Yes. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you very much. Thank
Maharaj,
you, Sushant Prabhu.
Maharaj,
yes?
I sent this, this song of Jayadeva Goswami.
All right.
It is Buddha.
We will look at that.
Yes, Maharaj.
Okay.
Yes, Maharaj. Maharaj,
then,
thank you very much,
yes.
Maharaj. Sorry.
Yes, Prabhu.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Yes. Thank you very much, Prabhu.
Dandavat.
Haribol. Dandavat.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Aji, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Adi.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mari.
Thank you. Maharaj, I'm cancelling the call, Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Yes.
Hare Krishna.